You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It is Monday, October 25th. We are pretty much past the midpoint of the college football season, but it's Monday and it's time to talk SEC football. This is Football and Grits. Thanks for listening. I am your host, David Ubben. As always, joined by my co-host, Andy Staples, who will not be drinking a redneck Bloody Mary this weekend. A mixture of whatever liquor, whatever hard liquor and ketchup will not be happening. But his co-host, Ari Wasserman, of course, choosing tequila and mustard, which will be on Friday's show. This is my current favorite bit that is going on our entire podcast network, just for the record, Andy.
Oh, well, I mean, listen, me betting on Pitt and losing is something that really kind of launched us. And then
I was
and now
with
me
you
betting
on the Pitt this week.
Yeah.
I know so. The Clemson mystique hasn't totally worn off, but I've decided to sell all my Clemson stock about three weeks ago and just say, this is who we are seeing every week. There's not going to be some, you know, every week, you know, if you guys read Mike Check on The Athletic, or write up of the quotes, I think Dabo's been in there three or four times. Like, well, it's going to click. We're going to make it work. One thing's going to happen, and then we're going to look like old Clemson again. It's not happening. Maybe they can fix it in the off season. It's not happening this year. It's just not.
No, and I've come to grips with that. I came to grips with it last week, which is why I picked Pitt in a situation where I would normally never do that. So you told me.
I think it was when I watched the whole Syracuse game was, I think, when I officially was out on Clemson.
That was a hard watch. That was a rough Friday night. But listen, that's fun. That's a fun Friday night for me. So that's when you're 40 something father of two, that qualifies as an entertaining Friday night. So David, you mentioned you might have a new punishment for me or Ari when next we lose.
I have a new punishment, and it's different because you're not going to eat one gross thing. You're not going to eat any gross things, Andy.
Okay, I like this.
But for 1 week, you are only allowed to eat two substances. And when I tell you the first one, you'll know what the second one is.
Okay.
The first item that you are only allowed to eat from the start of one college football week, that Saturday at noon, until the beginning of the next Saturday at noon, the first item you are allowed to consume is Bourbon Street Steak. The second item you are allowed to consume is an Oreo shake. That is all you can eat for 1 week.
My local Applebee's would be very familiar with me at that point. Like, oh, you're back for today's Bourbon Street Steak and Oreo shake. Congratulations. That's a great idea.
If we want to negotiate a natty and a styrofoam cup, we can talk about it. Mm-hmm. But that's my proposal for the next
Can I make
punishment.
It Natterdays? I mean, that is a natural light product because I'm a big Natterdays fan.
I'll give you that. I've had that a couple times. It's okay.
Well, so
that's my suggestion.
So what we're going to do, and this bet actually happened this past week. We're not going to do it yet. Ari lost. We did Oregon UCLA, and he took UCLA and I took Oregon. And the loser has to fast for 24 hours. And so what we're going to do, though, is you remember last year I lost the bet and I had to try to eat 100 nuggets in an hour. And we did a charity thing where you donate per nugget. So what we're going to do is as we get closer to Thanksgiving, we're going to have the week before Thanksgiving, we're going to have Ari fast and the listeners can pledge, you know, dollars per hour he fasts, or they can just do a set amount. We're going to do the charity we've chosen is Feeding America. So it's,
I like it.
It's going to be fun. He picked UCLA. I said Oregon will try to give it away, but they won't. And sure enough, they did not. So
there you go. Well, that's good. I'm looking forward to the next one. That is my submission. I hope it is selected. Hopefully, you both live close enough to an Applebee's. Maybe you have to stock up, get the freezer going.
David, I have a brand new Applebee's about 5 miles from my house. It is not an
Ari's
issue.
In Dallas. He's yeah. in Dallas. I don't know where all the Applebee's are in Dallas, but they're around.
Applebee's is a mile from my kid's school, so I am pretty much near there every day. So
we're rooting for Andy to lose for function's sake.
I'm counting calories, so that's gonna be tough because like one Bourbon Street shake and one Bourbon Street steak and one Oreo shake is my calories for a day. That is all I would be allowed to eat.
Well, by the end of the week, you're just fasting out of necessity because you can't take any more of the Oreo shake.
I'm all natter days by the end of the week.
Well, I look forward to you guys sorting that out at some point. Andy, speaking of natter day, sort of, the cocktail party is upon us this week. I don't know that if Ari is bringing tequila and mustard shots around to the cocktail party that people are going to be welcoming him if he's in Jacksonville. But Georgia's defense will be there. This is an interesting ball game looking ahead. A lot of good football this weekend, but we'll start there. We haven't seen anybody, you know, Georgia, obviously the Clemson game was kind of the closest call that they've had. Nobody's pushed them.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of Anthony Richardson starts and has a breakout game, is there a path to Florida pushing Georgia in this game? Going into the fourth quarter, a one-possession ball game.
Well, you did see Emory Jones lead Florida in a game where they lost by two to Alabama. So I do think it's possible, but I think Anthony Richardson gives you a lot better chance. If you're going to have mm-hmm. any success against Georgia's defense, the more dynamic quarterback is probably the way to go. And I think if you watch that LSU game, it was very clear LSU's defense was much more worried about Anthony Richardson taking off and running, and that opened up a lot in the passing game for them. Now, here's the bigger problem for Florida. Those 14 counters in a row or whatever it was that LSU ran, Georgia can run those two except better. Like, yes, Georgia has better offensive linemen.
Better execution.
And it should scare Florida a lot that Ole Miss just shut down LSU, because whatever was working against Florida was not working against Ole Miss. I think that's a talent thing, and I'm worried for Florida that they're just not going to be able to stop. Like, Georgia's going to be able to mush, and mush is the verb we use on this feed for what Georgia does to teams, but Georgia's going to be able to mush them over and over and over again and just control the clock. Like,
yeah,
you can get Anthony Richardson or Emory Jones or whoever plays quarterback for Florida really out of rhythm if you don't give them the ball very often. And that's something, if Florida does not clean this up, and I know everybody in Gainesville screaming about Todd Grantham, do this, do that. There's nothing you can call when all of your players lose their one-on-one matchups. When every single yeah. one loses the one-on-one matchup, no defense you call will work. And so that was the issue against LSU. And it wasn't every play, it wasn't all 11, but it was most of the front seven in those situations in the second half when they couldn't stop them. So Georgia has a distinct talent advantage in this game. That is the part I would be afraid of. So the Florida players who I think will decide that, hey, this is really important, so we're going to really get up for this game and put all our mental eggs in this basket. They're going to have to win some one-on-one matchups, or this game won't be close.
I think the secret about Georgia right now is their secondary is merely above average. It's right. good. The front seven is
they don't have to cover for very long.
That's the thing. If you can figure out a way to try and exploit the back end of the defense, which is I use the word exploit liberally, but that's where you have a much better chance to succeed if you can make some plays downfield. But you can only call what you can block, and
right.
Georgia's front seven limits what you can block.
So you're saying if
they try to bring six, it's over.
The 6'4", 240-pound dude with the rocket arm who runs really fast might have a better chance of staying upright and squeezing off that throw than the other guy.
Okay. Exactly. So if there's a chance for Florida, it's that. If you can give him enough time to let him try to get some receivers downfield and let them make some plays or run by some people, that's the path. Listen,
Florida's offensive line has played well this season. Like that has
it doesn't
not
matter.
Been a problem.
It's true. I just don't think it matters. I think they can give him enough time to make some plays downfield, but you're not going to be able to run the ball and have these, you know, 12 play, 75 drive. That's not going to happen against this defense. You're going to have to. You can hit some 20, 30 yard chunk plays when you get in the red zone. Take advantage. I mean, Florida needs not everything to go right, but you need a bunch of things to go right. Make some plays down the field. Hit a big one. Win the turnover battle, and they can keep it competitive. I think that's the path. It is a narrow path, Andy, but there's a path there.
It's a narrow path, and the other part of it that makes it probably tougher mentally for everybody involved is that it also doesn't change anything about the East race.
No.
Georgia's going to Atlanta. Like, that's going to happen. So whether they win or lose this game, they're going to Atlanta. And so I don't know, does that make Georgia not care, or does that make Georgia go, we got nothing to lose? Because remember, Florida put it on them last year. And this was – it was kind of a perfect storm of circumstances where Florida has this historic offense. Now, Kyle Pitts got hurt in that game, but Kyle Pitts did some special stuff before he got hurt. Mm-hmm. Georgia, Jordan Davis is out. Monty Rice was playing on one foot trying to cover wheel routes, and that didn't work very well. And you know, Georgia just didn't have what makes them special on defense for the most part, for most of that game. And then Stetson Bennett got hurt early in the game, and so their offense just sort of fell apart. I don't think that happens again. You know, that's not what's going to happen this year. They're deep enough defensively that if somebody gets dinged up, they're still going to be okay. And then from an offensive standpoint, I mean, we don't even know who's going to play quarterback. It's weird. Yeah. Both these teams have quarterback controversy is not even the right word. I don't even think controversy is the right word for either program. But
just trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awkward situations. Because you know, Kirby Smart's been interesting in how he's talked about Stetson Bennett this year. He's really pushed back hard on the idea that they need JT Daniels to win the national championship. And considering the health of the defense and the strength of the defense, he might be right.
I'm not sure.
Making 2020 into 2021. Yeah, 2020 and 2021, yeah, are different years. So he may be right about that. I think people see what happened to Stetson Bennett in some of the big games last year. And think it's going to be the same thing this year. He's better. The defense is better. So he might be right about that. But I think Jason Daniels is a
better Bennett's
player.
Averaging 12 yards a throw.
Yeah. He's
not
really well.
Not a completion per attempt. So if he had enough attempts, that would make him second in the country.
Yeah. As for who Georgia might be facing in Atlanta, Andy, I laid this out at The Athletic this week in our SEC takeaways. Ole Miss's path to not only Atlanta, but the playoff, Andy, is not that crazy at all. Nope. Ole Miss has never won more than 10 games in a season, which was a very interesting idea. They're in the top 10 now. I think people sort of shrugged them off after the Alabama loss. They hadn't played anybody to that point. It is what it is. But Ole Miss is sitting here, Andy, at 6-1. They are tied with Alabama at the top of the SEC West. They go to Auburn this week. Tough game. It's basically a pick 'em. But if Ole Miss wins that game, they have Liberty, who's been mildly disappointing this year. They host Texas A&M, who I'm not sure can score with them. Vanderbilt, and they go to Mississippi State for the Egg Bowl. They're going to be underdogs. I mean, they might be favored by game time on Saturday. We'll see how the line shifts. Either way, it's basically a pick 'em. If they win out, Andy, all they need is for Alabama
to lose the Iron Bowl. That's
lose the Iron Bowl. Basically,
that's the one they'd lose if they were going
to
lose.
And they'd get to Atlanta, play for the SEC championship for the first time in school history. And then, you know, it's one game. It's 60 minutes. They could beat Georgia in theory. They have the best offense, probably capable of doing it. And Andy, then we're talking about playoff link.
Whoa, hold on. That's not the scenario I thought you were going to lay out. Let me lay out a
what
different scenario.
What is the scenario,
you thought?
Let's hear
Ole Miss,
it. Let's hear
Ole Miss wins out, but so does Alabama.
Mmm. Now that's
and
spicy.
Then, and then Alabama loses to Georgia in Atlanta.
It's tough right now because we don't know how the committee views a lot of these teams. Week one, we'll get a sense of where the committee's at on all these teams. What do they think of Cincinnati?
Does
Cincinnati have a real chance?
Yeah, that's 2017 Alabama. That what I just said is how 2017 Alabama, which won the national title, got in the playoff.
But it's not about brands. I think it's more about recruiting and eye test. The committee views Alabama differently than they do Ole Miss. They just do.
Agreed. But if Ole Miss is 11-1 after going through this season, it will depend on everything. Like, they would probably need Oregon to lose another game.
They need a little. If that scenario, they need a little bit of help.
They need a one or but two loss have, ACC.
They'd
champ.
Be in the conversation. They'd be in the conversation. The funniest playoff possible is, you know, a Cincy, Wake, Ole Miss, I guess Georgia, whoever would get in there. A real grab bag. I'd like to see that. But Ole Miss, I mean, this is again. This is a really they're knocking on the door of a really special season, and it starts on Saturday. They have to get by Auburn on the road, which is not easy. Auburn hasn't done a ton to necessarily turn heads. I think the Arkansas win was impressive, but this is a game. I mean, I think Ole Miss is the better team here. They could lose this game, but it's just really interesting that if Ole Miss gets past this, that they don't need to do a whole lot of special things to really produce a big time season.
Auburn holds the keys to a lot of different things. You know, if they can lose to Ole Miss, lose to Texas A&M, and beat Alabama, then you got a really interesting situation. Like, now I think Ole Miss goes in that scenario because Ole Miss would have beaten A&M. But, or actually, the Texas A&M Ole Miss winner goes in that case. Whoever won that game would go in that case.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of intrigue to be had because it doesn't – and I think what we're looking at here is this is us saying Alabama does not look like Alabama looked last year. They look
– If they lose a game down the stretch, whether it's the Iron Bowl or something else, none of us are going to be floored. This is a very good Alabama team, but it's not immortal. Yeah, it's not like, untouchable. We're going to beat everybody by 30.
We're going to predict them to be wire-to-wire national champs next year based on – what they'll bring back.
Yeah, exactly.
But right now, all of these scenarios seem plausible to me. The two SEC team in the playoff scenario at this point does not seem as plausible because Alabama getting to Atlanta and beating Georgia as a one-loss team just doesn't seem as plausible now. Although, I mean, let's be honest. Let's say Alabama gets better. There's no reason that can't happen either.
Yeah. Either way, it's going to be a fun last, 5 weeks of the season? I can't wait. There's a lot of scenarios out there.
Wait, so you're saying if more teams are potentially able to make the playoff, then more people are interested and the season is more interesting? Wow, what a novel concept.
If the playoff expands to 12, I will quit this job. I will never watch another college football game ever again.
Oh, yeah.
I will erase anything I've ever written from any archive
weren't you going to do that? If NIL passed?
Well, and the playoff, but that's different in general. I was a big BCS guy, so...
That's my personal favorite. I had one guy the other day. I haven't watched college football all season to protest this NIL stuff. I go to his feed. It's all college football. I'm like, well, you're awfully well informed for somebody who doesn't watch college football.
And Andy, if pay for play happens, I'm moving to Canada where they play hockey for the love of the game.
That's right.
My plan.
Don't they pay the juniors in Canada?
No, they all work for free. Wayne Gretzky never made a cent. That's why he's the great one.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Okay, gotcha.
That's how it goes.
Wait, how did they afford that hoity-toity private school that his kid was going to when he was with Matt Corral?
They just donated.
Okay, all right, just checking.
They just gave him they gave him all that stuff.
Dustin Johnson helped out because he's like the in-law.
Yeah, basically. Okay. There's more money in golf than in hockey.
Okay.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Andy, we do need to talk about a game this weekend, though, involving Alabama. I wrote about it. Tennessee is a really interesting team because they're very competent. They haven't done anything, but yet you watch them and you're like, this team does a lot of good things.
Competent is a great adjective for them.
Like, very competent. Like, they haven't done anything this whole season that makes you be like, oh, wow. But they did the last 3 years under Jeremy Pruitt, they did so many things that just made you shake your head that for them to just take care of business, they beat the heck out of two bad teams in South Carolina and Missouri. They're probably going to do that to Vanderbilt. They're hanging with teams, even though the final scores didn't necessarily show it against Florida and Alabama this weekend. That's a 7-point game in the fourth quarter, Andy, and then Alabama flipped the switch. What have you made of the Vols so far this season?
I think Josh Heupel's done one of the best coaching jobs in the country this year. Given the circumstances that he inherited, I mean, come on. And look, the Milton thing was a mistake. He's clearly not the better quarterback, but I understand why you might miss that in spring practice and in camp.
That's hard because, I mean, I was here.
Well, Milton wasn't there in the spring, but with Hooker,
you wouldn't know what I'm talking about in fall camp. He was the best guy in practices. It wasn't even close, really. But then you watch the games, and if he's not performing in games, you have to do something else.
That's one of those you can't.
And Hooker.
It's a situation where if the quarterbacks aren't live in practice, you may not notice the things that Hendon Hooker gives you.
Yeah, that's probably true. But I don't think even any – I thought – So when Hendon Hooker came to Tennessee, I thought a couple things. Because people forget, he came really early last year, right after the season. Jeremy Pruitt had not been fired.
Right.
They had a real log jam at quarterback. They were bringing in Caden Salter. You still had Harrison Bailey. You kind of knew, I think it was after JT Schrout and Jerick Garantano had left. But my thought was when he got there was, one, this is really crowded, and two – he's as good about as any quarterback in the portal. I watched him at Virginia Tech last year, really good player. I did not see, even in this system, even if he'd won the job, Andy, he's third nationally in quarterback rating, right behind C.J. Stroud, Grayson McCall, ahead of Bryce Young. It is amazing. 17 touchdowns, 2 picks, completing just under 70% of his passes, to say nothing of the rushing ability. It's not that they're getting all these gigantic plays. He's getting some of them, but he's just operating the offense really well, and he is a guy that, I mean, he's been one of the surprise players in the country this year. I hesitate to call Tennessee a surprise team. I mean, because they haven't, like I said, they haven't really done anything, but you watch them, and you're just amazed that they are as competitive as they are for as thin as they are. I've been impressed with them this year, and it's been – they're one of the more interesting teams to see or to watch. And I think, too, considering how unwatchable Tennessee football, even when they were winning games in 2019, has been, this is a remarkably watchable team. And I think Tennessee fans appreciate that for sure. But they hung with Alabama, and they had a lead on Alabama for the first time since 2015. They were the better team for the first quarter of that ball game. And they didn't look like Alabama was playing a completely different sport, which more often than not, it's looked like that. And so Tennessee has been really interesting the first, and we'll see what they do over the back half of the season. They still have a South Alabama team, a Vandy team, 2 wins that they should walk over. And then, of course, the Kentucky game after the bye week. That's going to be a really, really huge game for them. That's when they've got an opportunity to say, oh, we really did something. We beat a really good Kentucky team.
Well, and I think if they can beat Kentucky, which, look, the way they played against Alabama, they absolutely can,
they can
play with Kentucky.
So Kentucky's a really good team, but very beatable.
Right. So if Tennessee can win that game, I mean, that changes the trajectory of the season. Now, let me ask you this, David, because it looks like they're going to win 6. And if they beat Kentucky, 7 is a distinct possibility. Do you play in a bowl game to get that extra practice, or do you ban yourself from a bowl game to get ahead of whatever you're going to have to deal with later?
So from what I understand, that is still not settled, which is wild to me. Who was it that banned themselves from the postseason like a few weeks before last year? Was it basketball
LSU.
Or football?
LSU.
Was it LSU basketball that did it last
no,
year?
No, LSU football. LSU football.
Yeah. Anyway, my understanding was that after the season started, that they were kind of waiting for the constitutional convention to happen and see what came out of that, to get a feel for, hey, if we don't impose, are we going to brace ourselves for?
Well, listen, I'm the guy who said that they should dare Jeremy Pruitt to sue them, spill all the tea, and ask the NCAA to come and investigate more, because they can just run out the clock on the NCAA. Because by the time the NCAA would get done, the NCAA might not even be in charge of football anymore. So
that's very possible.
So at this point, I lean toward, if you're going to go 7-5 or 6, just play the bowl game, take the practices, take the momentum. Take it. Like,
yeah, there's definitely been a lot of internal debate. Ultimately, Danny White makes that call. Chancellor Donnie Plowman has the veto power on what they do there. This lawsuit complicates things a little bit. We'll see what comes of that. I believe Friday is the deadline for a settlement before Jeremy Pruitt's lawyer files this. We'll see. You know, I suppose, to quote Lane Kiffin, get your popcorn ready, but we'll see. But Tennessee on the field, I don't think you could ask for much better if you were a Tennessee fan, especially looking at the roster.
This is so far ahead of what everybody expected from them. I mean, they are so much better than anybody dreamed they would be this season. So
the 3-9 Missouri scenario, where Missouri's living right now, that was on the table for this Tennessee team, and they have not done that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now Missouri, I think Missouri's got the crazy recruiting class. Like
Missouri.
That's one of those. We'll see in December where it ranks, but right now it looks pretty good.
Yeah. Missouri and South Carolina. We talked a little bit about them in the takeaways this week. I think more South Carolina. Not great. But Andy, before we move on, my buddy Cheese had some more thoughts this week.
I do love Cheese.
He is a longtime SEC devotee, Andy. And let me tell you something. He is sick and tired of Oklahoma right now. Cannot wait for Oklahoma to join the SEC. And if they play like they played against Kansas, that the road is going to get a little tougher in the SEC.
Has Cheese watched Caleb Williams play? Does he understand that if Oklahoma were to join the SEC in, say, 2023, that Caleb Williams will be a junior and still on Oklahoma's roster, except he'll be a third year starter by that point?
I think there's a lot of SEC fans who only watch Oklahoma when they're getting pasted by an SEC team in the playoff and not during the year.
Well, last I checked, David, Oklahoma played an SEC team in a bowl game last year. It did not go well for the SEC team. So,
well, okay, listen. I'm not going to be SEC apologist guy, but that was like Florida light. I mean, no Pitts, no Tony,
Diet
no
Florida.
Trask. Yes, Diet Florida for sure. So that, I mean, whatever. I didn't take a lot from that. I think you could see that coming a mile away.
But here's the thing. I think Oklahoma
will be fine when they join the SEC.
Yeah, the thought that Oklahoma will come in and struggle, they're not going to. They're going to be good.
It depends on your definition of struggle. If they win 10 games and they can't win the league or get to Atlanta or Dallas, dare I say it, Andy, at some point. If they can't get to the SEC championship game in the first 5 years, I would call that struggling if you're Oklahoma. I would.
But I don't think that's what's going to happen. I think within 5 years
they'll be able to do
that.
I also think,
remember, there's going to be a 12-team playoff at some point. By 2026 at the latest, there will be a 12-team playoff, and they will make it a few times.
Yeah. Andy, we are a week away from the committee dropping their first rankings. So let's look at every team with a legit shot at the playoff in the SEC. We looked at Ole Miss, and it's pretty simple for Ole Miss. You need a couple things. If you win out, you'll be in the mix. If you win out, Alabama loses, you beat Georgia, you're in, almost certainly. Alabama and Georgia have to win out. Well, Georgia can lose.
Yeah.
Georgia can lose really any game that they want.
Correct. Only one, but they can lose any of them. Yes.
Alabama, take care of business. They're not getting in if they lose to Georgia unless there's just total chaos. And even then, I think the committee would be really I just don't see a scenario in which two-loss Alabama gets in. Now, here's an interesting scenario. What if Alabama loses the Iron Bowl but still goes to Atlanta because Ole Miss loses to Auburn this weekend
and then beats Georgia?
Now, that's where you get into, well, what happened to Ohio State? What happened to Oregon? Is Wake still floating around? Cincinnati, where are they at? That's where you're sort of an unanswerable question.
You know what I think in that situation would help that Alabama team? You know who their favorite team in the world might be? Western Michigan. Because Pitt looks like the best team in the ACC right now. Let's say Pitt finishes 12-1 and wins the ACC. But
no,
their losses to Western Michigan.
I don't buy it. There's not enough quality wins in the ACC. I'm telling you right now, save the outrage, a two-loss Alabama would get in over a one-loss Pitt.
That's what I'm saying. It doesn't matter. The one loss is to Western Michigan, which will disqualify them.
Yes.
That's the problem that they face. Now, they could still get in as a one-loss ACC champ if some of the other stuff works out in their favor. But in that comparison, if you got a two-loss Alabama that just beat that Georgia team, then they're gonna have a problem. But here's the thing. That two-loss Alabama that beats the Georgia team probably isn't getting in over a 12-1 Oregon.
Yeah.
Probably isn't getting in over a 12-1 Ohio State. And do they get in over a 12-1 Oklahoma?
I want to see what the committee does with Oklahoma, because I have a sense that they are going to be a little cool.
They will be pretty skeptical unless Oklahoma hits the afterburner. Now, here's the thing. Oklahoma's still got to play Iowa State, and they still got to play Oklahoma State. If they thrash both those teams.
They need Oklahoma
State
to keep winning,
right,
by the way.
Right. If they thrash both those teams, which nothing we've seen so far suggests they will, but if they did, then
no conversation.
It's a different talk. But I don't think they're going to do that.
I don't either. I still think Oklahoma drops a game. I wouldn't be shocked if they didn't, but I think they will. Now, here's a conversation for you. There's only one other team in the SEC that has an outside shot, but still a shot. Kentucky has both a blessing and a curse down the back half of their schedule. They have a win over Florida. That's really their only win to write home about. Mississippi State on the road this weekend. Then you host Tennessee, to Vandy, New Mexico State, one of the worst FBS teams, and then you go to Louisville. The good news, Andy, is 12-1 is within reach.
No, 11.
The bad news is
12-1 is the
bowl. Or 11-1. Excuse me. 11-1. The bad news. That's you're gonna need some nuclear chaos to slip.
Right, because you're blocked
even
by
your
Georgia.
Because you need Georgia to lose twice, which is just not gonna happen.
And the thing is, they don't have that marquee crossover win. Like,
yes.
Does Ole Miss really? Ole Miss has the strength of the SEC, of the rest of the SEC West.
Yes.
That's what helps Ole Miss. So,
and Auburn will look good. Arkansas will look good if Arkansas can keep winning and get back into the top 25, which I think they probably will. By the end of the season, I think here's what I think fans miss sometimes. No one cares where teams were ranked when you played them. It's all the committee only cares about in terms of top 25 wins. Where are they that week? If you beat, this is what I'm saying, the Clemson win for Georgia, you know,
isn't gonna be very
they don't
meaningful.
Need it. It doesn't matter, but it's not going to matter because Clemson's almost certainly not going to be in the top 25 in the committee.
No, by the week of the SEC championship game,
they might be.
Georgia's best win before they play whoever the West champ is. But Georgia's best win by that week will probably be Arkansas or Auburn.
Yeah. But that's what matters, is where are they on that week, not when you played them. So we'll see. But Kentucky, the path is narrow and requires a lot of chaos. But this has been a season where we've seen a lot of chaos. So we'll see. But the concept, I mean, the upper crust of the SEC, Andy. I mean, we could have Georgia, Alabama.
Actually, let me correct myself. Georgia's best win will be Kentucky by the time of that.
Yeah, that's probably true. Yeah. But Georgia, Kentucky, Ole Miss, Alabama could easily have, by season's end, by the time Atlanta gets around, three combined losses. Three 11-1 teams and a 12-1 team. Now, they should all knock on wood as I say that, because we've seen
weird stuff happen.
But if you just go by the Vegas numbers, it's going to be trending in that direction, and we'll see. A good year for the top half of the SEC. That doesn't even include Florida. Doesn't really include Auburn.
Doesn't include LSU, Texas.
Yeah, or LSU. We'll see what Texas A&M does.
Let me throw this out for you. What if A&M wins out and Auburn beats Alabama?
Yeah.
A&M's in Atlanta.
With a bunch of good wins. They'd have Ole Miss. They'd have Alabama.
They'd have Auburn, obviously, and then if you beat Georgia,
I guess you're probably right, Andy. A two win Texas A&M team.
Two loss.
Excuse me. If they have all those wins on the wall, they're getting in. They are getting in. So I'm intrigued now. I'm intrigued.
Is that not the 2012? What if there'd been a 14 playoff in 2012 scenario?
Kinda, but that A&M team kind of came out of nowhere. It was pretty obvious after they beat Alabama. This is one of the best teams in the country. But early on, it was first year Sumlin. Nobody knew who Johnny Football was. Nobody really knew what to expect from them in year one. First year in the SEC as well. Nobody was really paying them that much attention because they didn't. That game get delayed for some reason, like a week or something. Why did they not play the Florida game? Was it a hurricane?
No, it wasn't the Florida game. The Florida game was played as scheduled. The Louisiana Tech season did not play because of a hurricane.
Oh, that's right.
Remember, they replayed it, and it was a shootout. Texas A&M this is what everybody I've talked to who was involved with that team says. Had that been played, because they had no idea what they had in Johnny Football, because you can't hit him at practice. So had they played those games as scheduled and La Tech had been first, they would have lost to La Tech and they would have beaten Florida. And that would have put him in Atlanta.
Yeah. Maybe. I do think, Andy, I've said this multiple times, if that Texas A&M team was in the Big 12, they would have been in the playoff as well.
but they would have found a way to lose. Like, that 2011 Texas A&M team was really, really talented and just choked away games against Arkansas, against Oklahoma State. Like, it's – with A&M, they can never quite put it all together for one whole season.
Yeah. This was the year, Andy, and they did not get it done. Andy, we updated the SEC power rankings. I will give you a chance to yell at me if you see any that jump out to you. I will run them down very briefly from the bottom to the top. Let me boot them up shortly. This is compelling. This is compelling air right now. At the bottom, Andy, we have Vanderbilt. I'm assuming that's pretty straightforward. They have not looked good. Number 13, Andy. Number 13, we have Missouri. Missouri, South Carolina was close, but South Carolina has at least won SEC game, albeit a narrow win over Vanderbilt. Missouri has gotten pasted just like South Carolina has. South Carolina number 12. 11, Mississippi State. 10, LSU. 9, Tennessee. A dangerous number 9. Number 8, Florida. Number 7, Arkansas. Andy, we talked earlier in the season that some really good team was going to be last in the SEC West this year. Are you aware that Arkansas is currently last in the SEC West?
I'm aware of that. And, you know, Arkansas...
Surprising.
Mississippi State might decide that. And look, Mississippi State beat NC State, which I realize NC State just lost to Miami, but NC State might wind up...
They're capable.
NC State still might wind up in the ACC Championship game.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's the thing. This is trending like 2010. Do you remember... Mississippi State's a good example of this. In 2010, that was the Mississippi State team that had like Fletcher Cox, and it was a pretty good roster. They finished 5th in the SEC West and 15th in the country.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Powder keg.
Number seven, yes, the last place in the SEC West, Arkansas Razorbacks. Number six, the if you listen to Football and Grits, the playoff-bound Texas A&M fighting Texas Aggies.
Wow.
Number five, listen, Andy, I had to put them up here because that's just where they deserve to be. Auburn has not impressed me like once this year, but they don't have any bad losses, and they have like some decent wins. And it's like you watch them; they don't seem that dangerous to me.
Penn State lost to Illinois. Penn State's looking like a pretty bad loss.
I mean, it's not a bad loss. It's just like it's like a game you probably shouldn't have won. That game you could play that game 10 times, and it probably looks very similar to that about 6 times.
Well, all right. So here's the deal on this. With Auburn, with Texas, because somebody's going to yell about Auburn being above Texas A&M, they're going to play each other. It'll all solve itself.
Yes,
don't yell.
Yeah,
get over it.
I think Texas A&M has a better roster, but A&M has accomplished more. A&M like they deserve all the credit in the world for beating Alabama. They really do. But the first month of the season, I'm sorry to tell you, did happen. It did. I don't know if anybody's watched Colorado recently, Andy. They're super bad. They're
just fired their O-line coach, yeah.
Yes, they're not good. Number four, of course, we're getting into the upper crust. Kentucky, I feel pretty good about them there. Ole Miss, number three. Alabama, number two. Georgia, number one. Andy, do you agree with me that Alabama is the second best team in the country?
No, Ohio State is.
Ohio State? I will listen to Ohio State. I will listen to Ohio State's arguments. It's close, I think. I think Alabama, I trust their defense a little bit more. I think Ohio State's offense is a little bit better.
I was going to say, I trust
really
Ohio State at this point, now that CJ Stroud kind of understands what sort of talent he's dealing with at receiver.
Some of those throws he made against Indiana were unbelievable.
Yeah,
that ball over the middle that he threw was ridiculous.
I think he's just gotten comfortable and he realized, oh my God, this is where Mac Jones was last year, where Mac Jones is like, I have these amazing guys to work with.
Yeah.
I'm just going to let it fly, let it rip. Think about all the confidence that gives you to know that your guy's better than their guy in almost every case.
Ohio State, this receiving group is the best receiving group that college football has seen since the 2020 Alabama receiving group.
I was going to say, since 9 months ago. Yes.
But, like, if you were ranking though legitimately, if you were ranking like the five best receiving groups of the last,
well, can we say can
years,
we skate just say let's say skill I would say position let's just say skill talent because I think
Travion Henderson in the mix.
Travion Henderson needs to be, and Najee Harris needs to get, they both need to get their proper due. So
I would agree they're up there. I mean, this is an Ohio State team with a lot of firepower, but we've just, they seem to get a little clunky a little more often than I think they're. When they're rolling, they're better than Alabama offensively. But I think Alabama's more consistent. They're better up front, I think.
There's a third and long in the Tennessee-Alabama game. I think it was third and 15. It was when it was a 7-point game late. And Bryce Young drops back to throw, perfectly clean pocket, dime right down the middle. And it's like, okay, there's Alabama. They are announcing, hey, we realize we're not as perfect as we were last year. Still Alabama, though.
Still pretty good. Andy, do you have any qualms with this week's power rankings across?
No, I'm fine with it. I think you're in good shape. Like I said, the logjam in the middle of the West will work itself out.
Yeah,
because they all play. And Ole Miss may move down. We don't know, because Ole Miss has to play Auburn, has to play Texas A&M, and I'm not discounting the Egg Bowl as a game Ole Miss can lose.
Because I think
Mississippi State has been good this year. And that's
their defense
will
slow them down a little
bit.
That's
a five-day prep situation going into a game on Thanksgiving.
Yeah. The Egg Bowl is always fun. I think Ole Miss is not significantly better than Texas A&M or Auburn or, probably definitely Mississippi State in terms of just pure roster. But I think they're the better team. But you got to prove it. And college football, the small sample size, Andy, it's a feature, not a bug. They don't play 162 games. I would love it if they did. I don't think anyone else would. That sounds like a nightmare for the players. But
poor players.
by about game 60, it would be we'd be in the walk-on territory. But
I might have gotten Andy, on the that, field.
Yes, Andy, that will do it for this week's Football and Grits and Bourbon Street Steaks and Oreo Shakes and all of those things. I look forward to that week Hopefully it comes soon. I'm very much looking forward to that opportunity. And of course, obviously, we need a first person because it's not, you're not going to have the viral clip of the Andy teaspoon gag on the mayonnaise that can become a GIF. We need this chronicled, your mental state, not unlike the famed Waffle House punishment.
Man who so we need a blog, is what you're saying.
I need to know the mental state of a person who's on day five of eating solely Bourbon Street steaks and Oreo shakes. And if at some point you have to mix a little bit of them together to give you a little bit of something different.
That's awful. Here's the deal.
Now that's what I need.
If it didn't, if calories didn't matter, if I wasn't trying to lose some weight, and it's working, by the way. So we started about a month ago. I'm down 16 pounds. So I'm not going
to
stop.
That's hard to do during the season.
I'm not going
to
stop for a podcast stunt. So if calories didn't matter, I think that would be pretty manageable. Like, yeah, you're going to feel bad because you're just eating a bunch of. Even your steak is sugary, so you're going to feel bad because you're eating so much sugar. But I think you'd be all right. But if that is all you can eat, because like the way mine works out, I don't know exactly how many calories are in a Bourbon Street, but that's probably...
I'm guessing probably 2K.
Probably would be my guess. I probably could eat like half the Bourbon Street steak and have the Oreo shake, and that would be my entire day. So I just don't... Yeah. That would
Does
be,
it come
that
with sides? Maybe you could vary the sides. Although maybe for the stunt, you'd have to eliminate sides.
Definitely get some steamed broccoli.
Get some steamed broccoli. Yeah. well, either way, these are questions for another day. Thank you guys for listening to this week's Football and Grits. For Andy Staples, I am your host, David Ubben. And of course, if you don't already subscribe to the show, you should do that. And you can have this show delivered directly to your device every Monday. Thanks for listening. We'll see you guys again next Monday. For more SEC talk, and of course, subscribe to The Athletic if you haven't already. Thanks for listening.